Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sean, we probably can't get our play-by-play call of the day in, right? Because of the computer problem?
Correct.
Well, just do what I do. Hit it on the side. I mean, mine's made in the old Soviet Union. All it understands is force.
I used to do that with my old floor-modeled TV in the living room when I tried to play video games on my Atari 5200. It cleared the screen just like that. That was like 33 years ago.
Well, it probably would have been Steph Curry's 13th three-pointer, so I'll just recreate it. It's good. All right, there you go. There's your play-by-play call of the day.
It's like I was watching CSN San Fran Bay last
it's
night.
It's good. All right. That's our play-by-play call of the day. Let's bring in Ryan Snyder now from Rivals.com. Penn State had a lot of recruits in over the weekend. They watched Penn State defeat Iowa 41-14 before a crowd of better than 106,000 in Beaver Stadium, most clad in white. I think some people think, well, okay, oh, they're all going to jump on board. They're all going to ride the bandwagon home. That's not quite how it works. This is, especially now after all the verbals, this is a process. And that's about where we are, right, Ryan?
Correct. You already know, but yes, correct.
I mean, yeah, look, there are certain big names that came in and spent the night here. Some of them spent the full 48 hours here. What kind of feedback did you get?
Yeah, a lot of good feedback, put it that way. Well, let's put it this way. Two main guys, I think, to keep an eye on. Everybody knows Lamar Wade, five-star Claritin safety. Everybody knows him. Everybody knows Penn State's situation. I think I've literally mentioned his name thousands of times by now.
Mm-hmm.
But the other guy to keep an eye on is defensive tackle Elijah Thomas from Hampton, Virginia, down in the Tidewater area, which is certainly a spot that Penn State has been chipping away at hard. It's, you know, it's kind of, it's definitely one of the top three or four regions in the Mid-Atlantic. So it'd be a great, great pull, you know, if Penn State's able to pull him in the end. You know, it's not going to be easy with Elijah. I think Alabama is still the leader there, but give Penn State a lot of credit. They have consistently stayed on top of him, consistently preached academics to his family. And I think it really helped out this weekend to get him on campus, get him in front of advisors. So let's see how that progresses. You know, he's not going to probably make a decision anytime soon. On the other hand, though, Lamont Wade is going to be making a decision here in about a month. I think he's set for, December 17th.
Yep.
Is the date. So this was his second official visit. He went down to Tennessee for the Alabama game earlier this season. And, you know, he's still going to take a few more. UCLA, West Virginia, Pitt. You know, Pitt's definitely in the mix, but I do believe Tennessee is probably Penn State's top competitor. Pitt's in the mix, too. But, you know, with all that said, after this weekend and after speaking with his dad, speaking with, you know, contacts, people at Penn State, everything really went well. I mean, they go out of their way for official visitors. You know, they really, you know, book brunches and make sure academic advisors are around to show the family everything. But I think this may have been the king of all official visits when it comes to, you know, really setting everybody up in the right places and making sure the family feels welcome. I mean, Penn State did an excellent job. You know, Mr. Wade, Carlton's his first name. He just went on and on. I asked him for 5 minutes of his time. He gave me about a half hour of just how many different little minute details that they really respected about the staff. So, you know, let's see how things shape up here in the final month. You know, I know that Lamont and his father want to see how Penn State finishes, how Tennessee and some other schools finish. But, you know, I felt pretty good about Penn State's chances going into the weekend. I think I feel even better now.
And the December 17th date is important because if you're an early entry, that's when you can sign.
Yes, correct, Steve. Forgot about that, Glenn. Yeah, he is going to be an early enrollee, which is important. You know, Penn State's always trying to get their guys on campus as soon as possible. That actually rolls me into another subject real quick with Michael Miranda. He offensive lineman out of Stowe, Ohio. He took his official visit this weekend because he will be an early enrollee, and most of the class will take their official visits in January then. So that was another notable prospect that was on campus this weekend.
Yeah, everybody does rankings down the line. Were there a couple of people that aren't going to make the headlines that they're here, but are really like Penn State, and also at the same time, Penn State actually really likes them too?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. They're mainly younger prospects, you know, guys who either haven't ranked yet or haven't, you know, gotten all the notoriety, I guess you'd say. In the 2018 class, the top guy, well, there's two guys that I think, well, no, actually, there's probably about four that are really good players that were on campus this weekend. Quarterback Justin Fields got a lot of the notoriety. He's literally tailor-made for Joe Moorhead's system. And, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, he had no real plans on returning. And after that Ohio State win, he got back on campus immediately, which, by the way, it was an unofficial visit, which means his family paid the way and all that. So that's a very good sign for Penn State. Let's see how things progress, though. And he is Hawkins, the defensive tackle out of Cincinnati. His dad is actually Archrell Hawkins, too. A lot of fans should know him. He's from the area. I think he's coaching at Johnstown now. Obviously, a very good lineage there. So get him on campus was big. You know, Hawkins has spoken very highly of Penn State. He took a really good visit in July, but this was his first game, and, you know, he just continues to rave. You know, he's already admitted that Penn State's one of his top schools, and, you know, he's got offers from Ohio State, all the top programs in the region. You know, he's going to probably be another top 200, top 100 guy when it's all said and done. Three other quick names here. Tight end Kyle Pitts, another 2018 prospect out of Archbishop Wood. And safety Quantel Reigns out of Aliquippa. Those were two really solid prospects to get back on campus. Reigns was hoping to visit for Ohio State, but he wasn't able to make the trip. And then Pitts has been on campus a few times. You know, I think he's basically handed the Penn State his favorite now. No rush to make a decision, but you know, he's a guy that a lot of people have picked. And then one other prospect I have to mention is Drew Pine, quarterback out of New Canaan, Connecticut. He's a 2020 prospect. Yes, a 2020 prospect, freshman. A long way to go. Whenever Penn State's recruiting guys at that age, they show a lot of talent. And Drew already does have a scholarship offer from the staff. So that should tell you everything you need to know there about, what they think his potential will be. By the way, you know, Florida State, a couple other top schools have also offered Drew. So he's going to be the elite player that we're going to be talking about here in 2-3 years.
Finally, 19 prospects. Did they lay some groundwork with some 19 prospects this weekend?
You know what? You probably know better than me on that one. I know we go through all the time. I haven't gotten a ton of info there yet, Steve. I'm still chipping away on that. Melvin Kirby's the guy. Hayden Shell, two guys I know that were up. But you probably know more there than myself on that one. Still chipping away at those guys. I got through 2017, gotten through 2018. 2019 is kind of my target here tonight, so I can maybe give you a better answer tomorrow.
Yeah, and numbers-wise, obviously, everybody has a pretty good handle on what they can do numbers-wise. What's the approximate number, do you think, on 18 that they could possibly offer?
For the 2018 class?
Yeah.
I think a lot of transfers will come to fruition here for the 2017 class. So, look, they're trying to even out the numbers, as you know, as a lot of people know.
Right. They have to balance these classes because, obviously, they're right now weighted too far to the bottom.
To me, it looks like the 20. I haven't, I'm so focused on 2017 right now that yeah. That's my main focus. It looks like the class, they should have a fairly full class in 2018.
Okay.
But, it's going to really depend on, who all transfers out, who decides to forego that fifth and final year. It looks to me like it will be close to 25. I don't even think the coaching staff can say, exactly how many they'll have for 2018 as of today. But I think the most important thing right now is that it looking more and more likely like 2017 class will have probably 20, maybe one or two more, which is important because I think 3 months ago, a lot of people thought it was going to be a very small class, which is 17, 18 or so. And, you know, given Penn State's success on the field this year, you want to add as many prospects as you can.
Right.
But Penn State's sitting in a great position now where, you know, not only they look good with the guys they're still targeting, but, you know, there's going to be coaches that are let go and you know, guys that are committed elsewhere that ultimately open up their recruitment. So Penn State's sitting in a great position, and they get a few more scholarships, it's only going to help.
Now, obviously, there's going to be contact based on what the rules say you can between now and Thanksgiving. But in terms of being on campus, how quiet should it be between now and Thanksgiving?
For the most part, yeah, pretty quiet. You're looking at high school playoffs right now.
Right.
You know, that's these guys' main focus, you know, especially for seniors and juniors, guys that are leaders on their team. You know, once you get into playoff mode, that is their main focus. You know, for the Michigan State game, I already have a handful of guys that say they're making the trip, so that's a good sign. You know, that kind of – what's that?
So that's interesting.
Yeah, there's a handful of guys that say they're going to make the trip. I'm looking at – let me see here. 1, 6, 8 – got about 10 guys or so that are saying they're making the trip. Dorian Hardy is a top 2018 prospect. It's, you know, looking to make the trip. There's also a handful of Penn State commits that are coming. So it does look like there will be a good guest list for that. But at the same time, we're 3 weeks out. You know, playoff schedules go week to week. And, you know, a lot of guys that play on Fridays end up having to play on Saturdays. So, you know, it's just really going to depend on where these guys stand with their high school teams. But for the most part, we're looking at a slow couple weeks. December will pick things up. But even with December, I think it'll be slower this year than most just because, you know, they've had so many official visitors already.
Right.
They've also had a lot of their early enrollees take official visits already. And that's usually when December picks up. So I really think that January is setting up to be the next, you know, 3 week span
right.
where recruiting is in the news every day.
Ryan, always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend. Go vote.
No problem, Steve. Thanks, buddy.
Ryan Snyder, Rivals.com. All right. Seem to mention every recruit out there except for one. I'm sure his father will be barging into the studio in a moment. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Merce family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, coming up on Thursday, Pat O'Brien's going to join us, I believe. We're going to break down the next step for Selins Grove. They're the playoff team left. And maybe Buhner will call in about the Anvil.
Got a few people in mind I'm going to try to get a hold of to get the Jersey Shore perspective, get both sides.
Well, the suit ripped that program 2 years ago, and they've just been winning ever since. Just, you know, and I mean, he ripped them. Like, you know, it's the only guy that's like put bulletin board material out there from the team's announcer. I mean, you know, the class with which Ferlazzo broadcasts with him, you know, you walk away, everybody feels good.
Gave him a big thanks Friday night when we were closing up shop and locked the doors Friday night and said, hey, you did a phenomenal job, and thanked him for it, and it was great. So, and I said to Dick Hort, see you at the Christmas party.
I'm sure that's scheduled for a Thursday night. Right?
To the best of my knowledge, I haven't seen the official invite, but yeah, we're about a month out. That's usually when it is.
Yeah. You notice I never go.
I know.
Do you want to know why?
Let's see. It would be the coach's show at Letterman's, right?
I'm on the show every Thursday night. Because I would go.
I know you
I
would.
I mean, I don't want the staff to think that, well, that arrogant.
No.
I mean, you won't show up, man.
No. Couldn't be further from the truth.
Meanwhile, you know, they don't schedule when I'm available. You got a bunch of dates. No. I'm trying to think, what the heck is my schedule in December? I got a game, let's see, I got a game the 29th.
I know you and I were going to probably take some time off here and get all that mapped out, where you're going to be and all that stuff. Well,
no, I have no idea. I got a game of the 29th and Saturday the 3rd, home on Wednesday the 7th, at the Prudential Center on Saturday the 10th, at Madison Square Garden on Sunday the 18th, and home on the 21st, and then home on the 27th. Big Ten opener. So I think there's only one date. The 27th, there'll be no show on the 27th of December because that game's at 3 in the afternoon. It's a long weekend for Sean. Christmas Eve, Christmas, 26th, 27th. Sean's going to be like being in Barbados.
I'm actually off that whole week.
Some of us have to get the logs to the top of the mountain.
I know. It's a use it or lose it kind of scenario.
I say.
I know.
I'm not on that plan. The ninth. It'll be tricky on the ninth because we got to travel to Newark. That's the only day. That's the only date in the month. So that's not bad.
No, not at all.
No, it's not bad at all. Because all the other ones are home. They're playing home the 3rd, the 7th. And the Madison Square Garden game's on a Sunday. So that doesn't, you know. In fact, did you see what time that game tipped off? 11 a.m.
Hmm.
They must have, like, ice capades at night or something. I wonder if the Knicks or the Rangers are playing that night. Because Penn State and St. John's is 11 a.m. at Madison Square Garden. Now, it's really worked out because Jen gave me this list of stuff she wants me to pick up at Macy's, Bloomingdale's, and this place called in the Times Square called Sephora. Okay, so
you must talk. If you said Sephora, you must have talked with my wife. She loves Sephora.
I mean, Jen gave me this list. And then Brad gave me a list, Jen's husband, and said, look, it starts out with bail me out, dude.
I was going to say, is there a unique golf shop near Times Square or something? Or
No. Brad can't get Jen golf stuff. Maybe as a side gift. Can't do that.
No, I thought Brad was just thinking about Brad's.
Let me put it this way. If Brad is only thinking about Brad, that means he's getting nice stuff for Jen, because at that point, Brad will be thinking about Brad. Because it's not going to be fun being there if he doesn't. How about, if I say to you the term Death Valley, you think of LSU and Clemson, right?
I definitely think of, like, primetime Saturday night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But LSU and Clemson, yeah. Death Valley.
Yeah.
They asked Pat Narduzzi today about playing in Death Valley. And he says he's completely... I've never heard of that before. Are you in the sport?
I'll admit, I think off the top, I always think of LSU.
Everybody thinks of LSU, but yeah. Clemson is called Death Valley. I've not seen the game in the stadium, but I've been in the stadium. And he said, Death Valley, huh? He said, that's what it's called? I've never heard of that before. Oh, boy.
He was probably trying to think of it like a TV classic Western or something.
I could see the great E.J. Borgetti. And he is E.J. Borgetti is great at his job at Pitt. One of the great guys in sports information. Covering his face with his hands and shaking his head. This can't be happening. This can't be happening. Okay. I'll explain it to you later. Oh, my goodness.
I wonder if it made Beano Cook spin in his grave.
Oh, Beano. Oh, Beano.
God bless him.
Beano Cook is one of the 10 funniest guys I've ever been around in my life. One of the 10 funniest guys. The stories I could tell you, some I can tell on the air. But I remember having Beano on at halftime one time. I was doing basketball. I think it was at Duquesne. And then when we were done, he looked over and said, Steve, was that okay? I said, yeah, Beano, it's great. Don't worry about it. It's all good. But Beano is, Beano was a different guy. You know, Beano's first name was actually Carol. One time they caught him sleeping on top of his file cabinet in his office. Oh. He used to stay and live at the Bigelow Hotel in downtown Pittsburgh. Which is pretty close to everything. I mean, it's not that close to Pitt, but it's close to Duquesne, the Igloo, Chatham Center. That's, you know, he used to stay and live down at the Bigelow. I've told you the story about him doing a game at Navy Marine Corps Stadium. And at that stadium, they have the great naval battles up on the facade. And he looks at it and he goes, look at that. Guadalcanal, Iwo Jima, Okinawa. What a schedule. All on the road. Oh, as only Beano can do.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. Oh, come on, Sean. Guess. Yes, you guess.
Walt Coleman.
Anderson.
Walt Anderson, sorry.
Hey, what are we thinking here? What are we thinking? First of all, is Seattle the house of horrors of officiating? Hey, think about it. That's how the officiating strike ended, right? So, yeah, well, I mean, the calls at the end of the first half were just absurd. And the officiating component, look, officials have a very hard job. I understand that. I believe that replay has eased some of the burden. So it's a very hard job that I have great respect for. I do have great respect for it. But when you are defiant about a call that everybody in the building knows is not the right call, and it's not the right call. Sorry, you cannot do what Richard Sherman did to the kicker at any point during the night. You can't. You know, the play's dead. Well, you can't hit anybody with the play when the play's dead. You can't. It's either roughing, a personal foul, unnecessary roughness, whatever. And you're like, oh, no, the play was dead. Walt, you were wrong, okay? Everybody knows you're wrong. Everybody knows it. I mean, the play's dead. Let's see. I'm trying to think of last night's game. Play's dead, and one of the offensive linemen got hit by one of the defensive players, and they flagged the defensive player. Well, Walt, I thought the play was dead. How can you can't flag him. See, the discrepancy here is too rich. and just shows that. But the games right now in the NFL, I think, are being over-officiated. Now, do players make mistakes? Yeah. Do I at times see college players make smarter plays than pro players? Absolutely. I'm going to give you a really good example of that. Rutgers is playing Indiana on Saturday. And Rutgers has the ball. Rutgers runner is trying to get to the sideline. Tigray Scales, whom I feel is a very good linebacker for Indiana, wears number 8. Goes to the sideline, okay, wraps him, is an incredibly strong man, pulls the Rutgers runner back, and then throws him down into the field to play. Now, why did he do that? Okay. Well, he did that because, A, he was making the tackle, but, B, he did it to keep the clock running. I mean, there's a guy that understands time, score, situation. And how many times in the pros do they lose track of time, score, and situation? And that's all they do for a living. That's all they do. They're not taking a chemistry class at 9 a.m. on a Tuesday. They're in the football facility working on how to play the game. And that's, I mean, you know, and a kid like Scales, he's a junior, he's a true junior, made one of the more intelligent plays I've seen. I mentioned yesterday on the show about Janoris Jenkins. 95% of the play he makes on Sproles in the backfield is thoroughly brilliant. Great athleticism, great anticipation, the whole thing. And then the last 5% was the tackling part. He lowers his shoulder, doesn't use his arms, and tries to bowl his shoulder into him when he has a clean, free shot at him. And Sproles bounces off of him and does get back to the line of scrimmage. And then they go on and on and on TV about what a difference maker this guy's been. I'm thinking, like, difference maker? I understand that, but talk about how lousy that tackle was. That was terrible. Then T.J. Ward for Denver on Sunday Night Football against Oakland comes in, perfect form tackle, breaks down, wraps, drives Murray to the ground. Now that's what you want to show kids how to play. Didn't put his head in danger. Didn't put his shoulder in danger. Okay? Didn't put the head of the ball carrier in danger. Nothing. Because it was a perfect form tackle where he broke down, right, and drove him down. It's the kind of play nobody's going to get hurt on. As for Jenkins, he throws his shoulder in there. Yeah, he misses everything, but, like, what's the possibility of him having a shoulder injury? I don't see a lot of smart play in the NFL, and I don't see a lot of smart officiating in the NFL right now.
Well, with the whole concussion issue that has come down the pike the last couple of years, now it's come to the point where, you know, what is the art of the perfect tackle? Or the proper way.
Seattle uses the rugby style. They brought in rugby experts to show them how to make a rugby type tackle. Penn State does half and half. They do some of that rugby tackling, kind of a hybrid. But the officiating is a problem. And you're averaging right now 17 to 18 penalties a game. That's not fun. That's a penalty every 3 minutes. You know, you'd like to see the game get some flow, or, you know, you're not every other play where you feel like you see a flag. I remember that 17 to 18 penalty average are the ones that are accepted. All right? Doesn't include the ones that are declined. Now, are penalties committed? Yeah. There's too many nonsensical things committed away from the ball where you're like, okay, the ball's over here, the penalty's over there. You're like, what? Okay, have some common sense. What does it have to do with the play? Okay, did you gain an advantage by the penalty? Well, if the ball is thrown here to the left and the illegal contact penalty happened on the right, and they weren't even looking to the right, keep the flag in your pocket. Okay? Only throw it over there if they're going in your direction. I mean, how many times do we see penalties off the ball? Stop it. Okay? To me, a penalty is something that is called when it has an impact on the play. Did a team gain an advantage by doing something illegal? They've got to cut back on this. It's really bad when people know the names of the officials. Look, there's Jeff Triplett. There's Walt Coleman. There's Walt Anderson. There's Gene Steratore. Although Gene, I personally like. I talk to Gene a lot. When people know the names of the officials, that's not good.
Well, when it got to the point on Sunday, I mean, I can't remember the amount of time in the game on Sunday with the Steelers and Ravens when Steelers had more penalty yards than total yards. This is enough to pull your hair out.
Well, and then that happened in the Penn State-Purdue game. Was it Penn State-Purdue? No, it was the Penn State-Iowa game. I mentioned at one point Iowa had 49 yards in total offense. Meanwhile, Penn State had given them 50 yards in penalties. Now, I'm not talking about college officiating here. I don't really have much of an issue with college officiating. I mean, most officiated games in college are averaging, 11 to 14 penalties a game. Really, that's not much. How many penalties were in the Penn State-Iowa game? What? Dozen? Right? Probably a dozen. But the NFL, hey, everything. Penalty. All right, now we're going to review the play. Let's take a commercial break. Let's come back from the commercial break. Okay? Now let's go back to play. There's another penalty. Okay, then they score. Okay, now let's take a commercial break. Then they kick off, and let's take a commercial break. It's like, you're just sitting there thinking, will you get back to the game?
I will admit, when I'm in the stadium, I'll look for the gentleman in the red jacket on the 20-yard line that always gives me, okay, we're back from net, we're back from break.
Right, yeah, the red hat's always, that's the guy who walks out the 20-yard line. So fans, when you're at Beaver Stadium, you see the guy in the red hat walk out to the 20, that's the guy that's telling everybody in the field is a commercial. That's why we know when we take commercials. We look at, he walks out, we're like, okay, we're going to take a break.
Like, I always look for that guy. Okay, then I'll look for the play clock then to start.
Yeah. So, but I think there are several issues with the NFL. One of them that they can deal with internally is too many nonsensical penalties. Now, I realize offenses are trying to trick defenses. There was two men in motion last night. You know, if you flinch, obviously you got to call a penalty. I mean, I got that. It's not like the players aren't committing penalties. But there's some things you can really kind of bypass. If the ball's not going in the direction of where you see a ticky-tack foul, then don't call the ticky-tack foul. If a ball goes in your direction, they make a play, you throw the flag down. Okay, some common sense. If the ball's not going your direction and what's happening in front of you has nothing to do with what's going on, unless it's egregious and personal, leave it alone. Stop throwing the flags. And everybody's gaining more yards these days on pass interference penalties than they are on actual passes. I just think it's a problem that's internal. You can solve that problem yourself. Because right now, they don't have great flow to NFL games. It's constant stoppage. Okay? Penalty. Replay of turnover. Okay, commercial. Come back from commercial. Tell you what happened on turnover. Penalty. Touchdown. Replay of touchdown. They have to review touchdown. All right. Bang. Score touchdown. It counts. We kick extra point. Commercial break. Kick off. Commercial break. Then play again. Now, that's what they're doing. That's the pattern they're into right now. I mean, what, you know, why does so many fans gravitate toward NFL Red Zone? Hey, why? It's wall to wall football. You've got constant football. If they're replaying something in the Seattle game, they will jump you over to the Jacksonville game. Now, I hate to say this, because obviously we're in the business of selling commercials and have great, great sponsors. But in the NFL, that's one of the issues right now. There are too many commercial breaks. As I said on last week's show, when you hear the official say in a college or pro game, 30-second timeout, that means on the computer, TV's out of commercials. They've used up all their commercials for the half. That's why you get 30-second timeouts. Amazing. My brother was blown away to hear that. I know you were stunned.
I was impressed.
But you're all concerned about, I mean, your team's bad. Your team's bad.
Mm. It's in that mediocre department for sure.
Your team's bad.
On the road, definitely.
Well, they better be good this week.
You got that right.
They got Dallas coming into town. That should be... And that game's in Pittsburgh, too, isn't it?
Yep, that'll be the 425 national TV game.
Oh.
And, of course, new home for the Steelers, 100.
I've got basketball at 6 o'clock on Sunday night with Duquesne. We're on at 5:30 on WKOK. All right. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Merz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us. Yes, it is election day. The polls will close at 8 o'clock this evening.
Sean and I both voted this morning. I had to get out there early. I was in line for about an hour this morning.
Wow.
But I got to the poll about maybe 7:15. But my thought process was this. Look, I had a couple shows to do today. I had to do a TV interview today. I had to write a script for the television show today. I've got practice tonight. And I was like, you know what? When practice is over tonight, I just want to come back, maybe watch a little bit of film or something, relax, and then, you know, watch results or a movie or something. So I didn't want to vote after practice. I did that 4 years ago. And I was in line for an hour that night.
That's about, yeah, for the last presidential election for me, when I drove an hour back home, and my polling place is about 2 blocks from my house, and that's the longest I ever stood in line to vote, was the last presidential. I figured, nope, I'm going to do it this morning, get it out of the way. And I was actually number 90 for my township. So we had a good, healthy start to the morning this morning. I was about.
I was number 178. I'm not kidding. I was number 178.
That's really good.
And but it was, the line was split in two, A to L, M to Z, and it still took a slightly more than an hour for me to go through. Now, during the middle of the day, it's a little bit different, but I didn't have, I mean, I had no openings in the middle of the day. I mean, none. So, that's why I felt it was the right thing to do, was to do it then, because I never miss a vote of any kind. I never miss a primary vote. I don't care if it's a local election. Yeah, if a local election, you know, it's time for the town council, it's time for the school board, whatever, and it's the primary in May. I'm there voting. I'm there voting. So I vote in all of them. You know, it's... You know, it's you know, I mean, it's one of the many separators in the world.
Right thing to do.
Well, but it's one of the great separators in the world. I mean, that's why I always laugh with, like, years ago. I mean, obviously, he's gone now. But remember, like Saddam Hussein, 100% of the country voted for him. You're like, what you think we're dumb? What?
I'm tempted to tune into TMZ or one of the entertainment shows starting tomorrow, the end of the week, of the famous people said, oh, if this person gets into office, I'm moving to Canada. Well, we'll wait and see.
That's assuming Canada wants you.
That thing about clearing customs.
I'm moving to Danville. Oh, wait, that's fine. That's good. But that's... So the polls will be open for slightly more than another 3 hours here. Another 3 hours, two minutes and 45 seconds they'll be open. So here's your chance to vote. Like, I saw a headline that said maybe the election might be decided by evening votes. It's an interesting proposition. And obviously, presidential election, much, much, much heavier turnout. It's interesting, in Ohio 4 years ago, you know what the percentage of voters who turned out to vote was? 72% in Ohio turned out to vote 4 years ago in the presidential election. Now, I think that's impressive. We always hear about voter turnout, maybe 50, 55%. I'm always kind of bothered by that. Yeah. I always have made that joke. Well, I don't want you voting if you don't know what's going on. I don't want you. I want somebody who like knows what's going on. No, but no, that's a great separator for everybody. So go out there, exercise your right if you haven't voted yet. And by the way, to the great people at the polling places, these are all volunteers. They're all volunteers. Every one of them is a volunteer. So you take a moment, maybe you can bring them something. Just say thanks for being there, whatever, because they've been there since 6:30 in the morning and working until obviously, you know, when that, you know, they have to get the ballots back to the county courthouse and the respective district to count up. So these people are putting in long, long days, and they're not doing it for anything. It's funny, Sean had the same attitude about this show.
No, I think I should go back to the polling place and drop off a pizza.
Yeah, so Sean's like, yeah, I don't get paid anything for this either. Every day I'm tortured. Every day. Sean Kerry, tortured soul.
This is bonus. This is gravy. This is the gravy part of the day.
That's because Wakeman did all the work today.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.